Good morning, friends. This is Tom Malone speaking to you. And I'm happy to be with you again. It's a real joy, a real privilege to come into your home with another gospel message. Suppose you were seated by me here this morning in this studio in this building, and I would have suddenly turned to you and say, this building's on fire. It's already burning. There's only one way out. I know the way. You come with me and I'll get you out. You would say to me, preacher, if you know the way, and you are sure you can get me out and tell me how to get out, and this building is on fire, let's immediately leave and I'll follow you. This morning, this world is on fire. It's already condemned. It's under the condemnation of God. There's only one way out. And I thank God, as a believer, as a Christian, I know the way out. And that way out is found in the third chapter of the book of John. The story, the simple, wonderful plan of how to get out of sin and into the kingdom of God. How to be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. How to be born again. How to be born anew. How to be born the second time. The record is here. We read in this third chapter of the Gospel of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I'm glad Jesus said these words to Nicodemus. I'm glad he did not say them to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene needed to be born again, and thank God that she was. But I'm glad Jesus did not say these words, ye must be born again, to Mary Magdalene. If Jesus had, and I was preaching to you this morning, some of you fine, wonderful women would say, well, preacher, Jesus said that to a fallen woman. Jesus said that to a woman that was steeped with sin, possessed of seven demons. Why, certainly she needs to be born again, but I'm a good mother of my children. I'm a good wife. I'm a moral person. I don't need to be born again. I'm glad Jesus didn't say it to Mary Magdalene. I'm glad Jesus didn't say it to the maniac of the devil. Or if Jesus had said it to you, some of you men who try to be honest and try to pay your debts and be a good father and a good husband and be a good citizen, you'd say, yes, Jesus said that to a man, about a man who was an outcast from society. Certainly you need to be born again. There he is among the rocks and tombs. So sinful, he's insane. Why, certainly he needed help. He needed to be born again. I'm glad Jesus did not say it to the maniac of the devil. I'm glad Jesus did not say it to Zacchaeus, that little crooked politician who climbed up a tree to see Jesus as king of Jericho. For if Jesus had said it to him, some of you'd say, sure, that man was a crook. He'd stolen money. He'd gotten rich. His gain was an ill-gotten gain. Jesus didn't say it to Zacchaeus. He said it to Nicodemus. I'm glad Jesus didn't say it to the dying thief. For if he had, someone would have said, sure, there you are, nailed to the cross and dying. In a few moments, he was going to be in eternity. And whatever he must do quickly. But Jesus didn't say it to him. Jesus said it to a Nicodemus, a man that was a rich, religious ruler. If Nicodemus could be brought into this studio this morning, I could ask him some questions, and he'd be able to answer in the affirmative these questions that some of you who are Christian people could not answer this morning. If I were to say to him, Nicodemus, do you tithe? He'd say, yes, I do. I'm a Pharisee. And a Pharisee gives tithes of all that he possesses. Nicodemus could have said, I give a tithe of everything that comes my way. I give a tenth unto God. If I were to say, Nicodemus, do you pray very much? Yes, morning, noon, and night, three times a day. I turn my face toward the temple of God and pray. I wonder if you did. Did you pray that much? If you'd have said, Nicodemus, do you ever fast? Do you ever become so concerned about getting your prayers answered and you want God to know that you're sincere about your praying? Do you ever fast? Nicodemus would have said yes twice a week. I do without food and I fast as I pray. Now, not many could say that this morning. Nicodemus was a self-righteous, a very, very moral person. He had plenty of religion. As far as religion is concerned, he had good religion, but he'd never been born again. He didn't have the life of God in him. He'd never had that vital contact with Jesus Christ that changes his heart and life. And Jesus said unto Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. What is the new birth? In the first place, it's a divine change. The new birth is of God. It's not human. It's divine. In the first chapter of John, we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that which were born, not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. That's what the new birth is. It's to be born of God. It's not of blood. It's not the will of man. It's not the will of the flesh, but it's to be born of God. There are two wonderful things about the new birth. There are many wonderful things, but two things that actually partake and have a part in the new birth. One is the Holy Spirit of God. In Titus 3:5 we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that does the renewing. It's not the will of the man. It's not being born of blood, but it's being born, as Jesus said, born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now then, the Holy Spirit is the divine agent in the work of the new birth. But there's a divine agency in the work of the new birth, and that's the Word of God, the divine Word of God. It's not of man. It's of the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, even the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. I used to hear a young lady testify in a little country church down in Alabama where I was saved. Oh, I've heard her testify many, many times before she was truly born again. She used to say, I thank God I have a Christian mother and a Christian father. And she was telling the truth. She had godly parents. And she used to say, I'm so glad I was born in a Christian home, and I've never known what it meant to be a sinner. She was sincere about it, but she was wrong. To be born in a Christian home, born of a Christian mother and a Christian father, does not mean that one is saved. One needs to be born of God, born into the family of God, born with the Spirit of God, born by the Word of God, born anew, born again, born the second time. I wonder if that miracle of regeneration, the new birth, the second birth, that divine change has ever taken place in your heart and life. Not only is it divine change, but it's a complete change. You're completely changed. You have a new nature that comes into you. You have a divine nature. Now, I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches this, that God does not take away the human nature at all. You do not come entirely divine, but you become a completely new person. An unsaved person is a child of wrath. A saved person is an object of God's love. An unsaved person is a child of the night and child of darkness. A child of God is spoken of as being one of those who are children of light. An unsaved person is a child of the devil. Jesus said, you are of your father, which is the devil. A saved person is a child of God. God is my father. An unsaved person is a member of a family of unregenerate people. A saved person is a member of the family of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I wonder if you feel like that radical, that revolutionizing change has taken place in your heart and life. Now, man was completely ruined with a fall. He needs to be completely changed. In Romans 3:23, we read, all have sinned come short of the glory of God. Everybody, all have sinned. There's no one in all the world but what is a sinner and needs to be saved. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody needs to be changed. Then it's a mysterious change. You know, some folks say, well, I'm going to draw reason from revelation. I believe that if you can reason about a thing and you can reason about it in your mind, you can fathom it in your own mind, and look to the bottom of it and see through the thing, well, then accept it. But if you can't, don't have anything to do with it. Well, you know, you don't follow that principle in every detail of your life. You say, I'm not going to accept anything I can't understand. Well, then you ought to turn off your radio because you don't understand it. You can't completely explain to me to save your life how that a man can walk into Louisiana. And you can sit in your home here in the state of Michigan, you can hear that man speak so many hundreds of miles away, yet you accept it. You have the reality of it. You hear it. You know that it's true. You accept it. And you say, well, I'm not going to accept anything I can't understand. Well, then you ought not to use electric lights in your home because you don't understand the principle of electricity. You can't understand to save your life and completely explain to me all the details about how you can walk into a darkened room and press a little button, and all of a sudden the darkness of that room is dispelled and light comes in. You can't, if you can't accept anything you don't understand, well, then you ought never to drink milk and eat butter. Because you can't understand save your life, and you can't explain how black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and turn it into yellow butter, and it tastes mighty good when you smear it on a piece of bread. You can't explain that, can you? Yet you accept it. You accept it. But my friend, you can't explain the new birth. There are some things about it I cannot explain. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Feel it on your cheek, Nicodemus, as we stand out here in the night. He said you don't know the reality of it on your face. And there are some things about the new birth I cannot understand. No theologian in the world could ever explain to you all the details of the new birth. But I've experienced the reality of it. I can say like the blind man who said in substance, I do not understand it all, and I don't know just for sure who Jesus is. But this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know that once I was a sinner, and now I'm a child of God. I have the evidence of it. I have the truth of the Scriptures, the witness of the Spirit, and the blessed experience in my own heart and life that I've been born again and born new. Then it's an immediate change. The very moment you accept Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. The very moment you receive Him, let Him, that glorious, wonderful personality. Now then, we bid you goodbye and God bless you, and we pray for you.